Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 27th of March, recording at 9:14 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And now, first, the highlights of the day. And I'm going to apologize here once again for a rather nasally and gravelly voice. I've still got this cold. So vocally impaired, but hopefully not analytically so, but you be the judge of that, and here goes. First on the highlights, there's no doubt that stock markets are struggling a bit in here, and Asia, we saw some modest setbacks. Europe had rallied, but then gave it up, except where the early closes had occurred. And Wall Street was soft, down 71, 78 on the Dow, nearly 9 on the S&P, and 18 on the NASDAQ composite. So, whereas it had Wall Street had a bravura performance yesterday, it was unable to recover the losses today. More on that in a moment, of course. And government bonds, well, they were soft in here, particularly the gilts and the Euro bunds, but the treasuries were down as well. And in currencies, soft dollar here, not getting hammered, but back under 83, currently 82.97 on the US dollar index. Precious metals held up reasonably well early in the day on the somewhat softer dollar and the momentum from yesterday's recovery, but then gave up ground. Silver down 13 an hour after hours, trading at 1328. Platinum was the exception. That's lost it up 5.5. And gold, no big declines here, but down 140 as I speak. Soft commodities, mostly a little weaker in here today as well. So we're certainly seeing profit-taking in the areas where the strong rallies had occurred. Okay, so what's going on here as far as stock markets are concerned? Well, there's little doubt following some of the keys, small keys that we saw yesterday and today's action, that these stock markets are running into resistance near the higher side of their trading ranges, that is, beneath the highs that we had seen in February. Most of those highs were in late February. So you know what happened thereafter. Sharp 5-day fall, a little bit of churn near the low, and then we get we had quite a good bounce, pushing back up to the higher side of those ranges, where markets are backing and filling, as they say. Now, if there's a lot of volatility in this action up at these levels, some people will find that quite stressful and retreat. And it would be surprising if the consolidation that we see, if that's what we're going to get here, doesn't involve a little bit of sag, some retracement of the gains that had been scored recently. But again, I maintain that this is no more than a reversion to the mean reaction and ranging phase, and for this to turn into a full-blown correction, then we would have to see markets go back down and through the early March lows. Now, no stock market of consequence has done that. And the only ones that have actually done that tend to be, well, I think markets like the UAE, which had not been moving upwards with the rest of the global stock market rally, and there are precious few of them in that category. But equally, we'd have to say that we've only got a handful of stock markets that have pushed above the highs that they had seen on the 27th of February. And none of those were important markets, with one exception, and it's quite an important exception because paradoxically that is China, which had triggered the whole fright to begin with. So that has continued to march on upwards, and that's certainly a bullish indication overall. Now, I expect more of the same, then more sideways ranging in this mean reversion process relative to the 200-day moving averages best viewed on the weekly charts. And to get a bullish all clear signal, and I don't think this can happen in the short term, we would need to see these indices, many more leading indices or significant indices, big stock market cap indices, push up through those February 27th highs and hold those gains. So I expect that to happen eventually, but I don't think it will happen in the short term. So expect a little bit more choppy activity, but we haven't seen much in the way of additional downward dynamics since the first initial panicky 5 days in the markets, and it would be kind of a relief if we didn't, well, for some of us at any rate. Looking at the government bonds, I don't want to see those yields backing up too much, but that is what's happening in Europe. So that needs to be watched. Government bonds remain one of the important canaries in the coal mine, as you know. The US dollar looks very soft in here. And really, it's pretty obvious that the US needs a soft currency more than any other major country. And no doubt it's going to engineer that if the markets didn't push the dollar down in their own right, because nobody is now talking about the Fed's next move being an interest rate hike. And that will remain the case while there is so much debate over this hotly contested issue about whether the US is actually going to slide into recession, as the leading economic indicators suggest, or whether it's going to muddle through because there's enough liquidity splashed around by the Fed, and perhaps more importantly, there's the cushion of the stronger global economic growth phase. We will see. Now, I still maintain that the odds slightly favor the US economy getting through without sliding into recession, but it's going to be a close run thing, that's for sure. And as I said yesterday, I certainly wouldn't bet my shirt on the US avoiding a recession this time around. And we're certainly going to see some profit downgrades in addition to what we've already seen, and that may unsettle investors. But again, as long as those US indices don't take out those early March lows, this is no more than a reaction in the roughly 5% category. And looking at precious metals, favorable patterns overall, favorable environment from the US dollar, and possible headwinds, well, maybe a little bit of contagion selling if stock markets are soft or if there's too much choppy volatility and people just decide to do less. But this whole metals complex still looks pretty impressive to me. And have a look at that dry freight chart that Owen posted in here today. And you can check that out, of course, anytime in the chart library. And that suggests that there are a lot of goods that are being pushed around the globe. And that does not suggest that we're getting any kind of overall global slowdown of consequence, although we obviously have an important slowdown taking place in the USA. And agricultural commodities, well, again, the overall patterns suggest to me that we're going to see further gains before the year is out, but we're in this nervy, choppy period, and I think that that may well persist for a little while longer. Among the better ones, cocoa's one of my favorites. Sugar's lagging, but it's certainly one of the cheapest. Coffee's cheap, looks like it's improving. And the grain and bean complex suffered a little bit due to good crop reports coming out of South America. And the next big news stories will focus, I think, on the U.S. planting season, which starts shortly. And I think that's pretty much, did I cover crude oil in here? I don't think I did. Now, this is really quite interesting because crude oil was down for just about the whole day, dipped down to 62.24, lost at 62.99 in here. That's up 8 cents overall. So that's a steady performance. And gasoline closed up on the day. That had dipped down to 203.32. Remember that? I posted that chart yesterday. Stunning recovery we've seen in gasoline. Last trading at 207.40 in here. So cost of driving in the U.S., well, it's cheap by just about everyone else's standards, or certainly those of Asia unsubsidized, and particularly those of Europe. But that's moving back into the more expensive category for the U.S., and that creates a little bit of that. If that continues, it'll create a little bit more headwind there for the U.S. economy. And I think that's pretty much it. And so, before the voice packs up completely, I'll just wish you all the very best.